So with Liam Petit, 5 Pounds of Pressure is the short film, winner of Best Performances at the Thriller Suspense Film Festival, all the way from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Is there people making films like yours, like in that Halifax, a lot of film crew and a lot of short filmmakers out there?
Yeah, it is a busy little spot, especially, yeah, we did go through that catastrophe with the film tax credits like 7 or 8 years ago, but it's definitely hasn't been stopping people from being creative, and there's more and more happening around here, and it's become quite the little hub for people, especially early on in the pandemic. We did so well with our numbers that it seemed like it was drawing a lot of people to Nova Scotia to film. There was quite a few series that were happening.
That's good.
Over the past couple of years, yeah.
So people are getting vaccinated. So then the Omicron is not affecting Nova Scotia too badly, I guess.
It's on a rise, unfortunately, right now. But we're all doing our part for the most part.
So before we get to your movie, you got in your blog interview, you said that the movies that you watch the most times in your life are Pulp Fiction and Seven. And that's sort of in my wheelhouse. That's kind of a Generation X kind of like teenage movie. But you don't seem to be as old as me. You seem to be like, he's like 2 or 3 years old when Pulp Fiction came out.
Yeah.
So exactly. What brought you back to those movies, to those 90s classics?
I don't know. I guess I just was fortunate as a child and a young teen to be able to access those grittier movies that you would have been watching around the same time. I went to Bad Boys at the age of 5 in the theaters.
The Will Smith, Martin Lawrence comedy? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I think I was 2 years old when I went to Jurassic Park in theaters because it was all AA. So as long as the parents were okay with it, then they'd let you in.
Yeah, Bad Boys is a pretty violent film. There's lots of action and killing, and that's not a movie for a 5-year-old.
No, I know, but I think the father there thought, well, it's the Fresh Prince. How bad could it be?
Gotcha. The father. Okay, so that's still, those are some of your inspiration movies. So, because it's interesting, because 5 Pounds of Pressure is really, it's a thriller, and it's got two people in a car having a conversation. Of course, there's a lot of suspense, there's a gun, and it's very dialogue heavy. So it's kind of like takes you back to those kind of Pulp Fiction-esque films, even though the tone is a little bit darker, I guess, and more realistic, I guess you would say, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it goes back to like Reservoir Dogs might be a good example, where it's just very story driven, brought down to the bare bones, kind of just showing, I'm sure this is what Quentin wanted to do, is just show how much he could do with little money and really rely on story and acting.
Yeah, it's almost like the after the crime, I guess, right? So like that, like Reservoir Dogs. So where did you come up with this idea for this film? So it's like a despondent guy. He's on the side of the road. He's got a gun. Looks like he's going to kill himself. And then a young female hitchhiker kind of holds him up. And so we know the context of the audience that this guy doesn't really care if he's alive or dead. And then this hitchhiker holds him up, and then you have yourself a short film. So where did this idea come from?
The idea actually was something that I wrote, the first original script, when I was in film college about 2011, 2012. And it originally was written for 2 male roles and was written that way until we got into auditions. And a female actress actually asked us, is any of the roles unisex? And then I thought about it and I reread the script as the hitchhiker being a female, and I couldn't look back. It just seemed, having that dialogue, and the dialogue didn't change as much, there of course was a few additives, but it just seemed, coming from a young female, that the dialogue was a bit more sinister. Because it was something, it would take you more off guard than being from a 30-year-old male.
it's Ella Grace, I guess, is the actress, right?
Yes.
So she kind of convinced you to do the caster, I guess, and change the script.
It actually wasn't her. It was another female that ended up auditioning for the role, but didn't get the part. But yes, fortunate for Ella Grace and very fortunate for us, we did change that and found Ella Grace, who is just a natural.
That's interesting. So yeah, so then the idea was the two males. So where was the concept of this kind of like, I guess it's like a, you could shoot it on the cheap because it's only one location, I guess, and two actors, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. I originally started writing it as a feature where they would go on the journey, but talking to one of my film profs, he kind of had he sat me down and we were talking about it, and it was just that mind-blowing moment where he said, what if the card doesn't move? And he talked about how, like, driving scenes, there's a lot of insurances you got to get, and this is not something that's a hard film to do on no budget. So what if you keep the car, and that really keep the car parked, and help, that will be an additive to help build tension.
Okay. Gotcha. So then that's sort of like, so you're kind of came up with this idea and you're kind of changing it for the kind of concept, I guess, right?
Yeah. Cause it's really to be to bring the audience into that truck, and the more this goes on and the car isn't moving, it gives you that contained claustrophobic feel. And I was actually asked this at the Catalina Film Festival, is if, you know, some people like to use their own fears in films, and asked if I was claustrophobic, and that's not really why we brought this, but it's more of the, you know, these two characters are in these situations where they're too far gone. There's no coming back.
Mm-hmm.
There's no going back from the situations that they've been put in before the short film takes place. And that's what brings the figurative walls closing in on them, creating that claustrophobic feel for the character and bringing the audience along for that ride while they do the detective work along the way.
And also too, like you don't really pick you don't really pick a true antagonist and a true protagonist, I guess, right? Like these are people that, you know, you can root for both of them, I guess, or you can root for like whatever audience member can root for one and or root for the other, I guess. I'm assuming that was your intention.
Yeah, well, I think that's a fun way of making film where, you know, it's up to the audience to decide, you know, where's your moral fiber at? Who do you sympathize for more? Yeah. And that's, you know, the person that you sympathize for the most might not be the person that you should sympathize for at the end of the day.
Yeah. And well, at the same time, they're both you can sympathize with both of them, like the way you set it up, right? Like you feel bad for both of their positions that they're in, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Even though there is a gun and, you know what I mean? But at the same time, she's just a girl, like she's just a kid, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you can tell that that's how he sees it. And she's kind of taking advantage of that.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. And she does. And at the same time, she's kind of going over the top because she doesn't want to just be seen as a young girl, where she probably in her past has been treated like that one too many times.
So 5 pounds of pressure, where did that name come from?
It's actually came from the co-producer Dennis Beauchamp, who also worked as the cinematographer.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was originally, the working title of this was Hitchhiko, just because I thought it had a cool grindhouse kind of sound to it. And Dennis always, he had the title 2 pounds of pressure that he always wanted to use. And when I showed him the script, is like, well, I guess this is the script that should have that title. And then, of course, we fact checked, and it's actually 5 pounds of pressure is the 5 pounds of pressure plus the weight of the gun is the amount of pressure it takes to pull a trigger, which means that, you know, like a small child could has the power to pull a trigger of a gun in the right or wrong circumstance.
And it's unfortunately happened before, right? So
yeah,
maybe they should change that law. You know what I mean? Like everybody's talking about gun control, but maybe like, how about have maybe 50 pounds of pressure?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Can't
shoot a gun, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, no, you know what I mean? It's just so interesting. It's like it's just so, yeah. Like you said, anybody can do it. So yeah.
Yeah, that protest starts here too.
The original was Hitchhiker. The original. Yeah. Yeah. The 5 pounds of pressure is a better title.
Oh yeah. Hitchhiker. Yeah.
It sounds good on paper, but then when you say it out loud, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Where 5 pounds of pressure just kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, exactly. And it means something. Like you said, you gave the explanation of what it means. So Kevin Jollymore, he's the man, right?
Kevin Jollymore, yeah.
Jollymore?
Yeah.
So where did you find him?
Also through the auditioning, there's a local Facebook page called Halifax, A-C-T-S, play on words. And you go up there and you put out your casting calls. And we were very fortunate to have, I think it was 8 people audition for both roles. And when we met up with Kevin, he was just a class act, natural, didn't come in with any ego or anything like that, but really got where we wanted to go with the script. And just blew us away with the first audition. And then we came down to 4 males, or 2 males and 2 females, and we wanted to mix and match them to see, would Ella Grace work better with Kevin or the other guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we had Kevin and Ella meet up, and, you know, we were blown away. We just felt like going through any more of the process would have been a waste of other people's time, because we knew that we had the actors.
Well, they're the film, right? Like, you got lots of close-ups, like the way you said, the claustrophobic feel, like they're telling the story. They're giving all the plot points in their dialogue, right? So,
yeah. And they're both amazing. Like, this was actually the first thing that Ella has ever acted in with dialogue. And, you know, she rolled with the punches. She was very dedicated. We had some long hours, a cold studio, but she hung in there, and she, she exceeded expectations. And I think she has a bright future ahead of her in acting. And also Kevin is just a natural. He keeps busy. He's, when I was in LA at the Catalina Film Festival, he was in here in our hometown, Nova Scotian Film Festival with, I think, 2 shorts and a feature that he was in. So he keeps real busy.
So yeah, he's the big actor in Halifax, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So you talked about the Catalina Film Festival. I keep thinking, but every time I say Catalina, I think of Step Brothers. I don't know.
Man, you have no idea how many times I've heard that since I went Catalina Wine Mixer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Catalina Film Festival. Okay. So you went to Catalina Film Festival. You got in the Montreal Independent Film Festival, right? Falcon International, Berlin International, Rome Short Film Festival, Cannes International Film Cinema Festival, our Thriller Suspense Festival. So you're doing well. Like this film is getting to a lot of festivals. How's it feel?
Oh man, it feels amazing. And I'm so glad that, you know, I really wanted those first time director awards because obviously I can't get it on the next one. So it was great that I got a couple of those in my belt. We got one from Bloody Hollywood and the director and best director and actor awards. And also just got one in Tokyo, the Tokyo Film Awards. But, you know, that's one thing. But we got Best Thriller. I'm so glad that Frankie Mason, who has been a huge part of my film journey and a longtime close friend, was the audio engineer, and he got Best Sound, Best Original Music, actually, in Chills and Thrills, which, that's awesome. You know, like, audio guys are the unsung heroes. So I was so glad for him to get an award. And also, like best performance and best young actress twice and best actor twice for both Ella and Kevin. Like, you know, that means so much to me because it just shows how, you know, it's not just a one man band. It's a collective of sure. all of these talents coming together. And even, you know, it sucks for the people that can't, that should get awards, like Dennis and the co-producers, you know what I mean? Cause yeah. Everyone played their part and made it happen.
So we sent you the audience feedback video. What did you think of that?
I loved it, man. It was great to, you don't really have access to that all the time where you hear from people. Yeah. You know, it's one thing to hear from your family and friends, but to hear from people that, you know, have no face to the director or the writer or anything like that. And they're just going purely off the product itself. You know, it's amazing. So I really valued that for sure.
So, okay. So you said this was your first film. You got it. Like, listen, you must know this. Non-people like get these awards and get all these festival selections on their first film. So
yeah,
you're ahead of the game. So what's the man from Halifax, Nova Scotia going to do next?
I'm really pushing. Like, I actually, it's been a busy holidays, but finally had 2 days to sit down and really get some writing done as I'm working towards finishing the feature script of 5 Pounds of Pressure. And then we'll be, all these awards are just going to be acting as a resume to when we're going out. Yeah, exactly. But it's the same concept, and it's actually the story will pick up. The start of the film will be the same, and the story picks up from that gunshot and continues on in a different way. We also filmed an alternative ending that shows how that story will continue. And, you know, loudened the voice of these two characters and express more of these the motivations that got these two characters there.
So you want to make a feature for this film? That's yes, your next, exactly. That's your next kind of plan.
Yeah.
So for sure, forget shorts. You're done. You got your awards. You're moving on to features.
I don't want to say that. Me and co-producer Adam McPherson on 5 Pounds. Me and him graduated from film, and we meet up every Thursday. And that is a big discussion of, you know, do we have a short film to follow this up with? And this is at such a high caliber that we really want to make sure that if we do put out another short film, that it's at the same level or above. So I'm not against another short film. It's definitely in the stars somewheres, but right now I'm focusing on the feature of 5 Pounds.
Well, let's talk again maybe next year or a couple of years or 18 months when you make your feature. And I think there's a definitely a feature in this kind of concept. So I wish you best of luck and congratulations on all your success. We're honored to show your film at our festival. And let's talk again.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I will definitely take you up on that future conversation. Sure. Thank you so much, Matthew, and thank you to Wild Sounds.
Thanks for that great interview. The director actually emailed me a couple hours later after the interview in great despair because he forgot to mention the amazing editor, Casey Beauchamp from LA, and he just wanted to say that she really blew the editing out of the water. It came together better than I would have imagined. This is his words. The pandemic caused a couple of delays with post, but allowed us to build our working relationship and go through the footage with a fine tooth comb and fine pacing the team was very happy with. So he just wanted to make sure that Casey got the shout out for her terrific work as the editor. You got to remember too, I'm sure we didn't really get into the bare bones of the coverage and shooting the one shots and two shots of the two actors in the claustrophobic setting, but I'm assuming he's got a lot of footage in this film and a lot of different versions of the scene, a lot of the different takes that he could play with. So let's just assume there's probably
a million different ways they could edit this film. So it's good that he brought up the editor in The Great Despair. I'm kidding. About the editing process, because these are really difficult things. People think they're easier because it's just one scene. It's like, it's either a close-up, basic two-shot. But with that, you got so much coverage and you got so much things that you could play with, and you can get kind of get lost in the vines of the performances, and you can, because you can do so many different versions different ways. So then you got too many choices and you kind of get lost in what the story arc is. So it's good that he had this relationship with her, and we could even do a whole new podcast. I'm sure he'd be happy, but unfortunately maybe time wouldn't allow it for me, but about the editing process and about how you edit these kind of scenes together, how much footage he had, and what he did for, in terms of the directorial design, to do like all kinds of master shots and then within different scenes, or to do a full master, and kind of like how did he work around all the and what did he, how did he decide how close to get on the actor, etc. in the directorial design. So really interesting film. I wish this actor the best. Halifax, Nova Scotia, baby. The second interview I've had in the last couple of months from someone from Halifax. I love it. And it's just not the filmmakers, but it's the talent that are around, like the cinematographer and of course the actors in this film that are from this area. Good on them, man. It's so great to see that, especially because I'm a Canadian myself. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. I will see you tomorrow, and best of luck to everybody.